significant. I think it's because God knew that O'Shea, who's now Joshua, would need the ever-present reminder that Yahweh is with him. And what better way is to change his name literally from salvation to Yahweh is salvation. So every time he would think of his name, he would think of Yahweh and that Yahweh is with me, that Yahweh is my salvation, that Yahweh is my deliverer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life Tabernacle Church podcast. It's an honor to be with you today. This podcast serves as our church's weekly sermon archive. Tune in each week to hear what God is speaking in our community. Be sure to follow and share with a friend. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Make sure you continue to just take all these needs before the Lord. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9. When you're there, say, I'm there. When you're there, say, I'm there. Good. Good job, Jason. Jason's there. We'll give you a minute. They'll be on the screen, obviously, as usual, but if you have your Bibles. Is anybody still, like, bringing their paper Bible to church? Yeah. Is anybody ever just forget? Anybody just forget to bring their paper Bible? You're not God's favorite, but maybe you will be first in line in heaven, okay? You might get seconds, okay? Here we go. This is the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to you, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being very careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray over God's word. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your faithfulness. God, teach us to be strong and courageous this morning. Help us to not be afraid. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, look at your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. If you needed a sermon title today, that is the title of the sermon, be strong and courageous. Now, I am a 6'2", 227 pounds. I probably put on a few pounds in the past couple weeks with all the wonderful meals people have given us. And I don't get scared of much, right? I don't get scared of too much, except I got really scared a couple weeks ago. So A couple weeks ago, my wife and I went into the hospital because it was time for Emily to deliver these wonderful twin boys, which are as cute as buttons, okay? We went into the hospital, 7:30 in the morning. It was great. I tell you what, the Lord went before us. We had the best nurses. I mean, all the nurses we had were spirit-filled believers who loved Jesus, and having them in the room and surrounding us the whole time was a great blessing. So we went in at 7:30. We were surrounded by all these great people, and it was really a great day. Obviously, it was a very hard day for all the ladies out here that you've had a kid. Laboring to have a child is not easy, but it really went as good as it possibly could have, okay? So Emily gets to that point where it's time to deliver baby one, which is his name is Daniel John. So she begins to deliver Daniel John, and at 6:32 p.m., on November 4th, Daniel John enters into the world, and he was so precious, right? 6:32, great, no problem. Head down delivery, perfect delivery, cute little baby, no problem at all. And as we're holding baby one and just cherishing it, we realize, oh yeah, there's another baby in there that needs to come out, right? There's two in there. And obviously, I can't imagine having one child, right? But having two births in the same day? That's tough, right? Does anybody know anybody that's had twins? Okay, or triplets? Anybody triplets? Wow, okay. I can't imagine. So as I'm holding baby one, Daniel John, in my arms, Emily begins to deliver baby two. And again, all the pregnancies and all the deliveries we've had zero problems. We have been very blessed. So as Emily begins to deliver baby two, we thought there was no issue. The doctors told us that baby two was head down. So we were like, hey, let's go, ready to go, no problem here. And all of a sudden, during the delivery, the room goes quiet, right? You know what I'm talking about? When the air just gets sucked out of the room. And at that moment, Emily and I both knew something was wrong. Something was very wrong. All of a sudden, the doctor said, we're so sorry, Miss Emily. We're gonna have to take you to the OR for emergency C-section right now. We can't find the baby's heart rate. Can't find the baby's heartbeat. And we went from having a glorious day, healthy baby one, no issue, to all of a sudden, my wife is looking at me like, what's happening? I'm holding my newborn in my arms. My wife's saying, I don't know what we're gonna do. And all of a sudden, chaos just filled the room. Doctors flew in the room, and they begin to roll her down the hall, and she's crying in agony and pain. And I'm left all alone in room 1334 with my firstborn in my arms, not knowing if I'm going to see my wife and my secondborn son ever again. Because it was that urgent. And as I just stood there in the room, I just began to kind of break down. Begin to cry, but I really just felt numb. I really felt fearful. Felt scared. I felt discouraged. And at that moment, as I begin to feel discouraged and I begin to worry, what if I never see my wife again? What if this doesn't go well? What if? I begin to pray. That's the only thing I knew what to do in the issue. So I just began to pray. As I'm holding Daniel John in my arms, and all of a sudden, the nurse runs in the room and says, Dallas, come hurry up, the baby's here. I'm like, what? Already the baby's here? What do you mean? So I rush back to the OR with my baby in my hands, and they try to get me to put scrubs on. I'm not interested in the scrubs. So I go straight back to the OR, and baby two, Dallas Ignatius, is laying on my wife's chest. And in that moment, though, he wasn't breathing. He wasn't responding. So again, I'm flooded with another set of emotions. She delivered the child, but is he alive? And after a few moments, what seemed like hours, they got him going. He started to cry. I started to cry. My wife started to cry. Baby one started to cry. Okay, we all started crying. And it was okay. But let me tell you what, I felt fearful. Have you ever felt fearful? Raise your hand if you've ever felt fearful, right? Ever felt discouraged? You know what? Not a whole bunch scares me. That scared me. You know what else scares me? Skunks. I tell you what, I was here at the church last night praying. That was a good little twist, right? I was praying last night. As I was leaving, I walked out the side door and he's looking right at me. He's on the rocks. He's staring me in the eyes. He's like, I'm ready. I think he wanted to come to church today, but I told him he stunk and he couldn't come, right? He's looking me right in the eyes. And I was like, oh no. So I darted off to the right and, you know, lots of things went through my mind. Do I, you know, try to kill him? You know, what do I do? So I just kind of took the longest route home and I walked across the parking lot and everything was okay, right? There's some things in life that it's okay to be fearful of, like a skunk. I don't want to be sprayed by a skunk. I don't want to take a tomato bath. That's not cool, right? What about this? What about if you're in a car? Now let's do this. Couples, we got married couples in the room. Okay, let's, Dreama and Kenny. Let me ask you a question, Dreama. If you're driving and Kenny's in the passenger seat and Kenny sees a car getting ready to pull out in front of you and he yells, hey, stop, right? Like, you know, that's gonna scare you, right? Passenger Princess Kenny's gonna like let you know that there's a car getting ready to pull. That's a healthy fear, because we don't wanna get in a car accident, right? There's certain types of fear that are good. We have a fear that we'll get sprayed by skunks, fear that we'll get in a car. There's certain things that it's okay for us to be fearful of. But what I'm talking about is what happened to me in that OR that day. Just the type of fear that cripples you and then begins to really question your faith immediately, right? Right, what if you get a diagnosis you're not expecting? What do you feel? Begin to feel fear, right? You get a call that someone's had a terrible accident, someone's fell off a horse, right? And broken everything in their foot, right? You feel fear. What about if you get a call from your kid and something's not right? You get that call from your son or your daughter who's in need of help, who's in jail, who is hurt, is somewhere stuck. What if you had to get a call from one of your friends who's at a house and something bad's happening, right? You feel fear. And fear is somewhat a normal part of this world. It wasn't supposed to be that way, but nevertheless, it's here. And today, through the book of Joshua, I want us to look at what it maybe is the recipe for dealing with fear and discouragement in our lives. Today in Joshua chapter 1, we get a beautiful story. There's a guy named Joshua. Can you say Joshua? Joshua, he is Moses' successor. He is Israel's second leader. The book of Joshua opens with the word after. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So this is right after Moses, the great deliverer of the people of Israel, who led the nation of Israel from Egypt into the wilderness, right? To make covenant with God, for the Israelites to be God's people. For 40 years, they wandered the wilderness. And now Moses, the servant of the Lord, a very special title reserved for only a few in the Bible. Moses is now dead and the mantle has passed to Joshua. And can you imagine how overwhelming it might have been for Joshua as he's taking the reins of this people? I mean, millions of Israelites who are God's chosen people, but are also a stiff-necked people, right? And I can imagine he would have felt maybe a little fearful, a little discouraged. Even though he had done great things with Moses, had seen God move, had seen the glory of God always constantly with him, for some reason, I would imagine Joshua feels a little fearful. And I know that because of what God tells him in Joshua chapter 1. And today, I hope just very simply and very shortly to hope give you the recipe to be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, be strong and courageous. From this story, I think there's three things that we need to remember in order to be strong and courageous so that we're not fearful or not discouraged. Here's three things. Number one, when we are fearful, we need to remember his presence. Look at your neighbor and say, his presence. His presence. Joshua 1. And let me read to you, okay, verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Look back at verse 1 as well. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, say the Lord. So right after Moses dies, this seems to be not long after this, God himself is giving a message to Joshua. This is the Lord, the God Almighty, literally speaking to Joshua. And what he says in verse 5 is, I will be with you. Another translation says, I am with you. Remember back in Exodus 3, that burning bush moment with Moses, God reveals his special name to Moses, that special name Yahweh, which means I am that I am. Or I've heard it translated as I will be what I will be. And as Joshua is starting out leading the people of Israel, not just staying in the wilderness anymore, now it's time to take ground, to cross the Jordan and to take the promised land. A place that's gonna be full of battles, full of enemies, full of hardship. God reminds Joshua that I am with you, right? He says, I will be with you. One thing I really love that God does here, you actually don't see it in Joshua, but Joshua's original name wasn't Joshua. Do you know that? Joshua's original name was not Joshua. In Numbers 13, Moses gives Joshua the name Joshua. But Numbers 13, it teaches us that there was a man named Oshea that Moses gave the name Joshua. So back in Numbers 13, before Joshua would ever become the leader of Israel, Moses felt in his spirit that he wanted to give Joshua or Oshea a new name. The name Oshea, look at your neighbor and say Oshea. The name Oshea means salvation. Beautiful name. But Moses takes his name from Oshea and gives him the name Joshua. Doesn't that sound similar, right? You have Oshea and then it's like Ja-Oshea. So what's happening here in Numbers 13, before he ever becomes the leader of Israel, God changes his name from salvation to the name Joshua. And the name Joshua means Jehovah is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation, or salvation belongs to the Lord. Why is that significant? I think it's because God knew that Oshea, who's now Joshua, would need the ever-present reminder that Yahweh is with him. And what better way is to change his name literally from salvation to Yahweh is salvation. So every time he would think of his name, he would think of Yahweh and that Yahweh is with me, that Yahweh is my salvation, that Yahweh is my deliverer. Point being, if you're feeling fearful or discouraged, the first thing we see with Joshua is the reminder of God's presence, his presence. In that room just a couple weeks ago, the best encouragement I had is that God was with me. Amen? That his presence was with me. What does it say in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? And lo, I'm with you always. If we've come to know Jesus, right? We have trusted in his sacrifice on Calvary. We've confessed our sins. He's filled us with his spirit. And he's always with us. Even when I walk outside and there's a skunk staring me in the face, he's with me, right? Even when I get a phone call that one of my kids has fallen down and broken their arm, he's with me. Even when I get a text message that my dad's had a heart attack, he's with me. And no matter what I go through, the first thing I want to be reminded of by God's word is his presence is with me. And that's really what prayer is. Prayer is simply acknowledging his presence, right? You know, married couples again, or friends, right? You know, it's one thing when you and a friend, this is my grandmother, it's one thing when you and a friend just sit together in a room like this. Maybe you're watching, what are we watching? One of your soap operas?
That works.
Okay, we're watching one of the soap operas. She said they were bad the other day, okay? Yeah. And so she watched Disney instead, okay. So like, it's one thing to just be sitting in the room silently with one another, not really acknowledging one another. But there's a difference when I begin to say, hey, how are you?
Good.
You're good? What did you have for breakfast today? She had half of a biscuit, praise God, manna from heaven, right?
It was, yeah.
Yes. There's a difference when you're just kind of in the room with somebody, and then there's a difference when you acknowledge that the person's in the room. Like married couples, like when you're in the room with one another and you're just scrolling on your phone, like that's sad because there's another human being whom you love in the room and you should acknowledge them. And so what is prayer? Prayer is the constant reminder that God is with us in acknowledging him. So as you're going throughout your day, one of the number one ways to remember his presence when you're fearful or when you're feeling good is to acknowledge his presence by, Lord, how are you today? Are you good? Lord, I'm feeling discouraged today. Lord, would you lead me today? Lord, it says in your word that you're with me and that you'll never forsake me. Prayer is acknowledging God's presence. And so if you're feeling fearful or discouraged ever, right now or in the future, you have to be first reminded that his presence is with you. Look at your neighbor and say, his presence, his presence, his presence. Number two, when you're fearing, fearful, or discouraged, you not only need to remember his presence, number two, you need to remember his promises, right? They go together. Not only his presence, you get God himself. You don't really need much more. You know, when my daughter's scared, she just wants me, right? But not only do we get God in his actual presence, but we get his promises. Again, when my daughter's scared, she has a bad dream, she runs to my room to be in my presence, and then I remind her, your dad's with you. You are safe. I will protect you. You will be okay. And so what happens here in Joshua, let's read it again, Joshua 1:1-5 again. It said, we'll start in verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, and to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. His promises. The promise to take the promised land was a promise, right? Long before Genesis 12:15, we meet this man named Abram, who eventually gets his name changed to Abraham. And God promises to Abraham, that you'll be a father of many nations in this land that I'm giving you. Same thing with Moses. God raises up Moses and reminds him that these are my people and I'm going to take them to an abundant and fruitful land. And right before, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God reminds Joshua and really all the people of Israel, not only is the I am with you, but my promise to give you this land, to drive out the enemies before you, the promise to do that, I'm reminding you of it right now. And why do I say that? When we're feeling fearful or discouraged, it's easy to remember his presence, but we begin to maybe question his promises. God, I heard this bad report. Maybe I won't get to live all the days of my life that you have. Or God, you said that you would do this to me. God, I remember when you spoke that prophetic word to me. But if this happens, it won't come to pass. You know, you said that my son or my daughter would do great things, but they're walking away from the Lord. Are you gonna fulfill your promises or not? And the answer is yes. That we can trust in God's promises, that God's promises are yes and amen. And when you're feeling fearful or discouraged, you need to remember his presence is with you, but you need to begin to recall those promises he's given to you personally and through his word. That if, for example, we think about healing, right? You're either gonna get healed on this side of the earth or not, right? But literally though, we'll either get healing now or we'll get healing in eternity. We'll get it either way. So we have a promise and a reassurance that there's coming a day where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. That's a promise we can trust. You know what another promise we can trust in is? Jesus is actually returning. Right, Brother Gary? He's returning. That's not like I hope he comes back. You know, that's not wishful thinking. We talked about this at JC's. There is a promise that Jesus is going to return to the earth through his word. He's returning for his people, meaning we can live as faithful disciples, right? We can continue to be fruitful until he returns because we know that the suffering of the present moment is worth it because he is returning because he has promised that he would. He's promised us through his word that if we know him and we love him, we've been filled with the Spirit and joined with the family, we'll dwell with him for eternity. That's a promise. And so when you're feeling fearful or discouraged, one way to be strong and courageous is to remember his presence, but begin to recall his promises. Stop focusing on the thing that's scaring you in the face, but remember, God, you said you would do this. Lord, I'm gonna trust in your word. His presence, his promises. Last thing before we wrap up, Keaton, you can come up when you're ready. Lastly, if you're feeling fearful or discouraged, we have to remember his word. This is a biggie. Ready? Look at your neighbor and say, his word. Look at this. Here we go. Verse 6, Joshua 1, verse 6. The Lord God says, be strong and courageous. I cannot say that word today. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So what's happening here? So the Lord has reminded Joshua that the I am with you. I have promised you and your people that you will inherit this land, but you also have to remember his word. He tells Joshua and Joshua to tell the people, if this thing is going to happen, then you have to trust in my word. He says, Joshua, you need to be strong and very courageous to do what? To carefully obey and observe everything in my book, right? And as you read through the book of Joshua, and then you get to the book of Judges, which is a very sad book, right? When you read the book of Joshua, what it really is about is, will the Israelites trust God's word? God has commanded this. The question is, will they listen and obey? And God says, if you listen and obey, it will go well with you. If you listen to my word, if you know my word, if you love my word, if you obey my word, then it will go well with you. But if you don't obey my word, it will not go well with you, right? We reap what we sow. And God is reminding Joshua, hey, if this thing is going to work, you got to trust in my word. I love what happens at the end of Joshua. Let's look at it real quick. I didn't put this. Sorry, Jason. It's Joshua 24. Joshua 20. I lied. There's not a Joshua 24. It's Joshua 21. Hold up. Everybody say, hold up. I got to get there. See, this is the hard thing about having a paper Bible sometimes. All right, I lied. There is a Joshua 24. Where is it? Because this is significant as it pertains to God's word. Okay, so Joshua 24, look at verse 14. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers that you served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, another translation says, if it is undesirable in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What's happening here towards the end of Joshua is that they have conquered the land. They have fulfilled the promise. They have trusted in God's presence. They have trusted in God's promises. And God has been true to his word. He's literally driven out all the enemies before him. But right at the end of the book, Joshua's reminding the people, okay, even though God's already done it for you, you need to choose to serve the Lord and to trust in his word. He said, if it's undesirable to you to serve the Lord, choose someone else. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so when we're feeling fearful and discouraged, we have to trust in his word. And one of the only ways to trust in his word is to know his word. A lot of us don't really even read our word for a few reasons. Some of us don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. Some of us have a hard time reading, right? I had a really hard time reading and I didn't even know it growing up. Some of us have a hard time reading. Some of us just don't like to read. Some of us just don't want to read God's word. Whatever the obstacle is, I just want to encourage you just this week, whether you open up a paper Bible, whether you scroll on your phone or listen to an audio Bible, listen to God's word and obey God's word, right? We can't walk in God's blessings and promises if we're not obeying his word. We can't expect to inherit all God has for us if we live contrary to the word of God. That's why the book of Revelation says, those who practice such things, those who practice sexual immorality, those who practice sorcery, those who are evildoers, those who do all these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? I know people who used to love Jesus wholeheartedly, but they have chose to walk away from God and his promises. And I really don't know in God's divine grace and love if they're in or out, right? But the truth is, some people can literally walk away from their faith. And they might think to themselves, oh, I was saved when I was a kid, I'm in, no problem. But if you practice evil, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. If we don't practice God's word, if we don't obey God's word, we cannot walk in his promises and his blessings. We have to trust in his word. We have to know his word in order to trust in his word. And so, as we wrap it up, if you're feeling fearful or discouraged ever, you need to